If you need to go to Japanese, let us know, but I think most people here are English-speaking well enough to understand your text. On the front of our bulletin is the English and then the Japanese. And what I really sense, Kazuyo, I really sense the Lord wanted to really touch you today. In fact, I felt like for these three ladies right there, I just sensed it in my spirit. Don't get nervous or nothing. I'm not going to call you up, you know. But really,
I need that.
Yeah, God's going to do something. He wants to meet our needs. I really sense that. I mean, that goes for all of us here, but I don't know. Just felt that right there. Oh Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. We just sang about it. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, this name for God, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
I'm going to read today's scripture reading in Japanese. その日、あなたは言おう。主よ、感謝します。あなたは私を怒られたのに、あなたの怒りは去り、私を慰めてくださいました。見よ、神は私の救い。私は信頼して恐れることはない。ヤハ、主は私の力、私の褒め歌、私のために救いとなられた。あなた方は喜びながら救いの泉から水を汲む。
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, without any further ado, I want to introduce our speaker for today. And would you give him a great big welcome, Pastor Terry West.
Is it all right if I move some of this stuff out of my way?
Yes.
I really don't need a microphone, so I'm going to set it aside. Hallelujah. I'm going to set it right over here. Amen. It's such a delight to be here and to bring the Word of God to you. I never take that for granted. But the Bible is our source. I said the Bible is our source.
Yes. Yeah.
Now I'm used to people responding to me, so I might say things three or four times until you nod your head or do something. But I appreciate the opportunity, and I want to first of all give honor to the angels of this house, Pastor Aki and Sister Mandy, and the work that they're doing here. I thank God for them. They're good friends, and God has brought us together and has given us a warm friendship, and I appreciate that very much. And I honor all of you, clergy, deacons, board members, whomever you may be. God bless you, and thank you for being here as well. The Word of God today is very dear to my heart in this passage, and I want to give you just a brief understanding of what has happened before we get to this passage here. And that is that the Lord was promising or speaking through the prophet of the coming back of the children of Israel to Jerusalem from Assyrian captivity. You see, they had wandered away from God. Even though they went through all of the religious observances of the temple, their heart had become far from God. See, you can go through all the motions and of religion and still not know Jesus. You can even sing all the songs and pray all the prayers, but unless you're born again, you really don't know Jesus. And what had happened over the years is that the folks that worship God had started to just go about the religious observances, and their hearts were not in it. So God, in His anger, had them led into captivity, and now He has promised that He's going to bring them back. And this is a fourfold thing. He's bringing them back prophetically at that time. He was bringing them back prophetically when Israel became a nation again. And He is bringing them back when they finally realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah in the coming kingdom age. Somebody ought to say amen for that. But I thank God the fourth time that this is a prophetic utterance is for you and I today, that you and I can know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's more than religion. I said it's more than religion. It's an experience. It's a walk. It's a life walk with Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of religion. I love to talk to people who are excited about an experience they had. And your testimony and my testimony is that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are born again to the Spirit of God. Amen? That the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins way back on Calvary, man, I can sing some old hymns right now, but way back then is still true today, and those of us who accept Jesus Christ are born again. Our sins are washed away, we've been born into the newness of God, and we have newness of life. Amen?
Amen.
So today I want to focus in on some of the things that are of most importance, and that is, and we'll get to our handout in just a moment, but understand this, that we live in a rough time. We live in, I believe, in the end times. I believe that time is short. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It was really wicked in those days, and it's wicked again today. Anybody? Nod? Yeah? You agree with that? Shake your head? No? All right. So, as we walk through, I had a pastor tell me one time, when I was a young man, he says, when you walk through a field, you're going to get dirt on you. When you walk in dirt, you're going to get dirt on you. When we walk in this world and we rub shoulders every day with unsaved people, there are times that their influence actually gets on us and we don't do everything the way the Lord wants us to do it. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to myself. There are times that I get angry. There are times that the things we shouldn't do. What did Paul say? The things that I want to do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? That is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So there comes times that we fail God and that we miss the mark. And that our own guilt will keep us from coming back to Jesus. Does this make sense to anybody? Have you ever done something wrong and you found yourself, instead of coming back joyfully to the throne of God, you found yourself being embarrassed to come back, you felt ashamed, you felt that you weren't worthy, and instead of coming to the Lord and asking for forgiveness, we kind of stayed back and wallowed around in our misery. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Because it's familiar to me. When I was in a backslidden condition away from God and came back to God, I didn't even know how to pray again. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know how to come back. And I felt that I had to do all this penance and all of this stuff. And finally, I came to the place to realize that the Lord is our Heavenly Father and He welcomes us back. You as parents, those of you who have kids, when they do wrong, you don't shun them. You want them to come to you for forgiveness, right? You're ready and willing and able to forgive them. Well, our Heavenly Father's the same way. Amen. He's the same way. So, listen to this. I was doing some studying, and in the part of psychology and counseling for depression and related drug therapy, it's over a $1 billion industry today. Because people don't feel good about themselves. Over $1 billion are spent a year for people to be counseled or take drugs to feel better about themselves. But you and I have a better way. You and I have a better hope. You and I have Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's always there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And He's ready, willing, and able to forgive you and get you back on track. Amen. Hallelujah. So David says this as we understand that we have a mighty counselor and an advocate. David said in Psalms 42 and 5, why are you cast down? He's talking to himself. Sometimes we've got to talk to ourselves. Why are you cast down, O my soul?
Yes.
Why are you disquieted or mournful within me? He says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. David understood that in those times of trouble in spirit, whether from an outside source or from an inside failure, I mean, you're not going to talk to me today. And inside failure, he understood that God was his source. I hope we understand today that God is our source. I hope we understand today that the Lord loves us so much that he has made it possible that you and I could come boldly to the throne of God, where we can find grace to help in time of need.
Yes.
Amen? So he says, my soul is cast down, but I'm going to look to the Lord and I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him. You know, you can praise yourself out of depression. You can praise your way out of a problem. You can worship God, and everything around you that seems to be coming against you will fade away in the presence of God. Where the presence of God is, there's peace. Where the presence of God is, there's joy. Where the presence of God is, there's glory. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
I'll say amen for you. Amen.
Amen.
In Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 11, rather, King David commits adultery. We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm working up to my notes. I'm working up. King David, he commits adultery. He sees Bathsheba. He should have been out with his generals, but he decided to stay home. Sometimes idle hands are the devil's workshop. Have you ever heard that? That's not in the Bible. That's just a saying. And he sees this woman, and he lusts after her. He has her come to the palace. He has an affair with her. She gets pregnant. Now he doesn't know what to do. So he sends her husband into battle first, and he's killed. David murdered her husband.
Right.
David murdered her husband. David had to come to the place where he was found out by the prophet Nathan. Sometimes God has to bring to our, right in front of our face, our failures. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you something? I'm going to walk out from around here because I don't like being behind there. There are times that you and I fail God. There are times that you and I mess up. There are times that you and I, out of our own rebellion, decide we're not going to do what God wants us to do. And then we try to hide it because we're ashamed. And we try to pretend it didn't happen. But see, God doesn't work that way. You realize that when you keep something in the dark, the devil has something on you he can blackmail you with. The devil always pops up and says, you're not worthy, you're no good, you can never be right, God doesn't love you, you're not really even saved.
Right.
Has that ever happened to anybody? I know it's happened to me a time or two, or three. And understand this, that when God confronts us and brings something to the open, we need to look at it. So often our self wants preservation, and we don't want to look at stuff that we don't like. We don't want to bring up stuff that's hurtful to us. But the Lord wants us to bring it out so we can deal with it and he can take care of it. You can't hide anything from God. He already knows. But he wants us to know that we know he knows and we can be honest about it. Amen? When you come to the Lord and you ask God to forgive you of all of your sins, you may not have remembered all of the sins, but you said, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. God, wash me and cleanse me. You didn't say, wash me and cleanse me of the ones I remember. Wash me and cleanse me of all of them. Amen. And so the Lord has to bring the prophet to David because David was the king and nobody could touch him. And the prophet says, you're the man. So David now has to deal with it and he has to repent. So in chapter 12, he's found out, and then he prays this great prayer in Psalms 51. He says, blot out my transgressions and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. You and I are the only people on the planet that should have real joy. If you're born again and Jesus lives on the inside, you have the right to be joyful. Amen. Now don't get this twisted. Happiness and joy are two different things. I can be in a place that I'm not happy with, but still have the joy of the Lord. Things can be going in my life that I'm not happy with, but I can still have the joy of the Lord. You see, happiness is from an outside source. Joy comes from within. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited to know that God is on my side, that Jesus loves me, and that I have the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, even in the midst of my failure, even in the midst of my own rebellion against Him. The Lord is faithful to bring me back to a place where He and I can have good communication and love one another, and there's nothing standing between us. I love God. I love Jesus. He says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. You see, salvation shouldn't be a drudgery to you. Salvation shouldn't be a bummer. You know, people talking about, oh yeah, you know, back in the day, oh, me and my friends, we used to go out partying and we would drink. Oh yeah, I could drink anyone under the table. Oh man, it was so great. And we used to party until the break of dawn and all this stuff, and I could dance better than anybody can dance. And we used to hang out at the club and we used to do this and we used to do that. Then I got saved. No, when you get saved, now joy begins. You see, my slate's been washed clean through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I have joy. The Bible says joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So I have the right to be joyful in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And when someone talks to me about the Lord, I light up like a Christmas tree. Come, let us reason together. Amen. The glory of God. I want to talk to you. We can talk for hours and hours and hours about Jesus. And I don't have to get all religious and theological. And I don't have to know all the nuts and bolts of homiletics and hermeneutics and apologetics and all that stuff that you learn in seminary. I don't have to know all that stuff. All I have to tell them is, come and meet a man that told me everything about myself. Come on, I want you to talk to me about Jesus. Let me tell you about my experience. You see, I have an experience with God that no one can take away. No one can take away. And my experience is real. It's my testimony. Does somebody out there have a testimony? You have a testimony? You had to go through a test. Now you can moan me about it. Amen. Hallelujah. If I knew he had hard floors, I wouldn't have worn my squeaky shoes. Hallelujah. So in verse 3 of our text, he says, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells. Wells. Not well. Wells of salvation. Let's look at two words. The word joy is the word sason. It means gladness, joy, mirth, rejoicing, and exaltation. You see, there's something about this word joy that goes beyond what's going on around you. It's a joy that cannot be put out. It's a joy that cannot be squelched or stopped. It's a joy that's from within that God put there because He lives there. Who lives in you when you got saved? The Holy Spirit came in and now He dwells in you, right? So you have God living in you. How in the world can you not have joy when you have God living in you? All right. That's how it is. The word draw is the word sha'ab. It means to bail up, or pull out. So he says, with joy, with exultation, with gladness, with mirth, with rejoicing, I'm going to pull out of the waters of salvation. You ready? How do you draw? Praise and worship. How do you draw? Praise and worship. We praise God for what He has done. We worship God for who He is. Someone want to know the difference? We praise God for what He has done, and we worship Him for who He is. Because He's God all by Himself. He doesn't need you. He created everything. We worship Him for who He is. So praise and worship, listen, have to go beyond words on a page and come from your innermost heart. Yes. Worship and praise can't be just a superficial hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of us can only go hallelujah. We can't even go hallelujah. We go hallelujah. Some of us, we will worship the Lord if somebody else is worshiping the Lord, and we think because that's okay, you know, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it. It's part of the religious things that we do in church. We praise Him and we worship Him when we have praise and worship, and so it's our time to do that. But you can say glory to God and you can praise the Lord, but you cannot really truly worship Him unless it's coming from your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever thought and stopped just to think about who God is and what He's done for you in your life? Have you ever thought about that you were lost and now you're found? You were blind and now you see. You are undone without God. You are alienated from the very kingdom of God. And through Jesus Christ dying on the cross and shedding His blood and just faith in knowing that and receiving Him, now you've been grafted into the vine. Now you have been adopted. Now you're sons and daughters of God Almighty. And now you're citizens of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And if you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, all the blessings and benefits of the kingdom are at your disposal, including joy, even though things aren't going well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had cancer many years ago. I wasn't happy about cancer. Let me tell you, I wasn't happy. And the radiation therapy that they gave me burned me up so bad my skin would peel off in sheets, front and back. And I hated going in there. I hated sitting in there and listening to that buzz of the machine because I would be so sick afterwards I couldn't even hold my head up. I had no happiness for 8 weeks. But let me tell you, there was a joy inside of me knowing that God was still with me. I'll never forget laying in that MRI tube. And as big as I am, I was like a stuffed sausage in there. I mean, it was like right there. And I hear her going, clunk, 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 as they're taking images of my body, trying to find out where the cancer was. And I'm fearful and I'm worried. And all of a sudden, I felt the presence of Almighty God there in that little tube with me. I felt this presence. I could almost touch Him. I just knew He was there. And He spoke to me and He said, remember when I told you that I had things for you to do? Have you done them yet? I said, no, Lord. Just like David, who knew he was going to be king and stood before Goliath, he knew that Goliath couldn't kill him because God's promises are yes and amen unto yes. you. Amen. He knew he wasn't king yet. He knew Goliath couldn't kill him. He knew he had the power of God. And just like David, I knew that God had promised me stuff. And God's not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should repent. He is God and God Almighty. What He says, He's going to make it so. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I came through that 8 weeks and God brought a healing. I'll never forget the doctor saying, I don't know what you're doing, but you keep on doing it because I can't find cancer in your body. Now they may think that they radiated it out and they had surgery and they removed some stuff, but I'm telling you right now, I am here all these years later by the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Somebody ought to shout, God is no respecter of persons. If He did it for me, if He did it for David, if He did it for Joshua, if He did it for Paul and Silas, He'll do it for you.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
That's the God that I serve.
That's right.
That's why I have joy. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. We got time? All right. I don't want to go over. We haven't even got to our notes yet. Hallelujah. So, from where do we draw? Only from the Lord and His gift to us, which is His salvation provided for us at the cross. Our faith has to be in the finished work of what He did at the cross. See, you can't have faith in yourself to be good because you're a lawbreaker by nature. You will never fulfill the law of God, but through grace in Him and having your faith on the finished work of grace enables the Holy Spirit to have latitude in your life to let you live a holy life. If you are so sin conscious about worrying about sin, you're going to sin. Because it's always on your mind. I can't do this. I can't do that. And when you set up a law for yourself, Lord, how many of you have ever done this? You don't have to raise your hand. But you said you promised the Lord, I'm going to read a chapter a night. I'm going to read a page of the Bible every day. And you didn't do it. You had all the intentions in the world to do it, but you didn't do it. Why? Because nature, the fallen nature of man is to break the law. But grace makes up the difference. Grace. My faith is in the finished work of God that Jesus accomplished on the cross. My faith is in that same work to save me as in the same work to sanctify me. So if my faith is in Him and what He did for me at the cross, now I don't think about sin because the Holy Spirit now works in my life because my faith is in the right place to live a life that's pure before God. Somebody say amen. Okay. So, let me ask you a question. Concerning your faith in God, Paul says, I know that I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. So I ask the question, do you know that you know, or do you think that you know? Do you know that you know, or do you think that you know? You see, you've got to know. Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? And in the fellowship of his suffering? See, we always leave that part out. Do you know him? Do you know who he is? Do you know who you are in him? Are you a kingdom citizen? Do you know your rights in the kingdom of God? Come on, somebody. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So you've got to know that you know. And when you know that you know, then you can draw water from the well of salvation. Listen, John 4, 10 and 14, the woman at the well, Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again, but whoever drinks of this water, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, whoever drinks of the water I shall give them will never thirst again. The water that I give will become to him a fountain, listen, a fountain of water springing up unto what? Everlasting life. Again, Jesus speaking in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or his belly will flow rivers of living water. This text speaks to us, here it is, this is the crux of it. The text speaks to us as not cisterns or containers. Cisterns have to be constantly filled from an outside source. But wells are spring-fed and come up from beneath.
Oh, yes.
Now you understand why God doesn't say anything just to say it. There's a whole other meaning of what he's really saying here. He is saying there are two different things. He says, Jeremiah 2 and 12, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Jesus calls himself, God calls himself the fountain of living water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So why is this important? This is important because is your source God, or is your source everything else? Is your source of joy and peace and contentment, is your joy from the well of salvation that you have, or if it has to come from some other person? Can I only find joy if I can get my sister to pat me on the back and say you're doing a good job? Can I only have joy and feel that I'm right, I'm doing good, when I have to have my mom or my dad or my uncle or the pastor or the deacons or somebody come and constantly tell me I'm doing a good job and everything's going to be all right? Or does my true joy come from God himself? Does it bubble up inside? Is he working on the inside? Because if he's working on the inside, he's going to show up on the outside.
Amen.
Yep. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm not mad. I just talk this way. The wells of salvation, listen, the wells of salvation are ever fresh. Jesus said, God said, behold, I do a new thing. The wells of salvation are ever free. Whosoever will, let him come. The wells of salvation are ever abundant. I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So the four wells I'm going to look in, and that you can get to your paperwork here. I'm sorry, there was just so much scripture, I couldn't put it all on one page. Four wells we're going to look at. The well of grace, freedom from sin. The well of redemption, freedom from past guilt. Wells of regeneration, daily refreshing. And the well of eternal life, all this in heaven too. The well of grace, freedom from sin. Romans 6:22, now being made free from sin. Who's saying, who? What happened? How can we be free from sin? Who did that? Jesus did that, right? We have to go back to the source. Now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:18, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See, Jesus has broken the bondage of sin's hold on us. Doesn't mean we can't sin. You can do anything you want. You can still sin. But he has broken the shackles and the chains of sin off of you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. Does anybody, do you understand what I'm saying here? Understand this. Jesus, you were locked in a cell of sin. Jesus opened the door, loosened your chains, and said, come on out. The problem with most Christians are, is we're so worried about what's out there, we stay in the prison. Instead of walking in newness of life. I don't have to deal with sin because he has made me free from sin. Do I sin? Sometimes my anger gets the best of me. Sometimes, you know, things happen and I get an attitude or whatever. Sometimes I might hold a grudge way too long. Sometimes people get involved in gossip. Sometimes you might tell a lie. But you see, I am not bound or chained to that. I have freedom by Christ to walk away from that. And he says, if any of us have sinned, we can come boldly to him and repent. For the Lord will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. He's faithful to do it. Amen? Are you with me? So, we come to the wells of redemption. Freedom from past guilt. How many of you have ever had to deal with past guilt? I have lots of past guilt. Things that that Satan tries to beat me up with because I did wrong back in the day, or I didn't do something right, or I might have cheated somebody, or whatever it might have been. I might have said something that hurt someone's feelings, whatever it might have been. And now there's a past guilt that tries to catch up with me. But praise God, I draw redemption in that redemption from the well of salvation. See, it's my right because I'm saved. It's my right to draw from this well of redemption. And it says, Philippians 3, 4, 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the prize which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I have the right, by being saved, to forget those things which have so easily beset me. Forget those things that have caused me problems and pain and turmoil in my past. And I can move forward in God now. I can, by His permission, forget those things and move forward. Can I tell you one more thing? Sometimes we need to forget even some good stuff that happened in the past. You see, if I'm holding... We can't put God in a box. And Pentecostals are bad at this. If God moved in a certain way, He's going to have to always move in that way. We can't let Him do anything new. So, but if I'm holding a blessing from the past in my hand, I can't hold another blessing for today. Now, I can testify of a blessing, but I need to have my hands open for a new blessing. Amen? You need to have your hands open for a new blessing. So I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm forgetting my old church experiences. I'm forgetting all my old friends. I'm forgetting about all those people that were in my past. And I'm moving on to today and what God has for me today. Because it's my right as a saved citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen to Romans 8:1. Therefore there is now no condemnation. You're not condemned. Those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Are you walking in the flesh or are you walking in the Spirit? Well, Pastor, I just don't know. It's so spooky to walk in the Spirit. No, it's not. It's second nature. It should be first nature. When you have a prayer life, I said when you have a prayer life, I hope you pray more than when you're just at church. When you have a prayer life and you're talking and communicating with God, you see it wouldn't do me any good. Our relationship wouldn't go anywhere if I just talked to her on Sunday. I know this just makes too much sense. But for our relationship to grow, we have to communicate every day. That's what prayer is. You know, prayer isn't, Thou, omniscient Father, omnipotent in heaven above, Thou that searches the hearts of men. Who talks like that? God already knows your heart. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him. My Heavenly Father, I love You and I have need today. Lord, I thank You for all Your provision. Lord, I thank You for Your love for me. Lord, I'm having an issue with this person on my job. Or I'm having an issue at school today. Or I'm struggling with this issue, Lord. I need Your help. I need Your wisdom. I need Your guidance today. Would You please help me, Lord? And I pray this in the name of Jesus. You think God understands that? You bet. More than the... You know, all the, when you pray in King James. All right. Then the wells of regeneration, daily refreshing. Lamentations 3, 22 and 24. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, but his compassions, what? Fail not. They are new every morning. We sang about it. Great is your faithfulness, God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. His mercies are new every morning. And can I tell you something? When it says, they that wait upon the Lord, isn't for you just to sit there and say, well, I'm just waiting on Jesus. Just waiting. Lord, we need workers in the church. Just waiting on Jesus. That's not what that word means. That word means a waiter that serves you at your table. They that wait, they that serve, they that minister unto the Lord shall renew their strength. Now there are times that you just can't do everything. There are times you need to see the stop, take a break. Pastor Offie's on a sabbatical. There are times you just need to take a break. And that's perfectly fine. But never use the scripture waiting on the Lord justifying your laziness. Now, I felt a full flash when you backed up. I have found I am closer to God when I'm doing something for God. I found myself, if I was idle, wandering, being too available to do the wrong thing. So when I become active, maybe you can lead a prayer group. Maybe you can do a home Bible study. Maybe you can go out and witness to people on the job. Those folks are at school. You can go and you can be a minister at your school. I don't mean you need to slap somebody upside the head with your Bible, but you can be a witness to them when they want to know how come you're always so happy. How come there's a smile on your face? How come you're so pleasant? You can tell them about Jesus. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't believe in him. Well, that's too bad, because you know he's made all the difference in life. Amen? So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And then finally, wells of eternal life. The promise of heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven? Okay. Just checking, because how many of you know you're going to heaven? You know that you know. You don't think that you know. Paul went through all the stuff he went through because he knew why he was doing it. Romans 6, 22 and 23, we'll read the 23rd part as well. It says, but now having been set free from what? Sin. And have become slaves of... The word slaves is interpreted servants of God. You have your fruit unto what? Holiness. And the end, what? Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. All of the blessings of God in heaven too. I am telling you the truth. The Lord is not slack. 1 John 5 and 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in who? His Son. Paul says in Thessalonians, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that sleep, as those that have no hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Oh, I feel God in here. Well, we caught up together, forever to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want you to know that Jesus, when he comes, he's coming at the right time, and he's coming for you. He put the earnest, that's an old time word that we don't use anymore. The Holy Spirit was a down payment. He was put in your heart as a down payment. And when the Lord comes back, he's coming for whose are his. That's you. If you know Jesus, he's placed his Spirit in you. It's like a tracker. It's like a tracker. He knows where you are, and he's going to come for you. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye. will be gone. If you don't like the word rapture, use the first resurrection. They're interchangeable. First resurrection, will be gone. Out of here, forever be with the Lord. You see, when in times of struggle, in times of turmoil, in times of hurt, in times of chaos, uncertainty, we draw from these wells. And that keeps us on an even keel, knowing in who we have believed, and that He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. What you need, He's able. If your heart's hurting, He's able. If you have fear, He's able. If you have doubts, He's able. If you're frustrated, don't know what to do, He's able. Amen? His mercies are new, renewed every morning. He loves you with a dying love first, and then an undying love now. That's how much. Stand to your feet, we'll pray. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And we have the freedom in Christ to have joy. Freedom in Christ to be about His business. The freedom in Christ to live above and not beneath. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this great church. We thank You for these great people. We thank You, Lord, that we are strong in the Spirit today, and that the power of God radiates and moves through us by Your Spirit. Lord, we ask one thing, and we ask that You would help us to surrender our will to Yours. Not our will, but Yours. Let the kingdom, Your kingdom, come, and Your will be done on earth through us as it is in heaven. Help us to be about our Father's business in the great commission and to share the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to get beyond our own selves and concentrate on others. Help us, Lord, to be a vessel, a tool in the hand of God as You would work through us to build Your kingdom. Lord, I thank You for these that are here. I pray for everyone who is sick in body today. We come against infirmity and we command it to loose its hold in the name of Jesus by whose stripes we're healed. We thank You, Lord, for those that are in the valley of decision and they really don't know which way to go, that You're going to give them clarity of thought and peace about it. And they don't have to struggle and strive and worry and fuss, but they can rest in You knowing that You're going to guide them, for the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by God. We thank You, Lord, for those that are wanting to know more of You, Lord. You said that if we hunger and thirst, that the righteousness will be filled. Lord, bless this church. Lord, bring in the hungry souls from the north and the south and the east and the west. Bring them here to hear the gospel. Bring them here to find Christ. Bring them here to find all that You have for them. Let revival break out of this place, oh God. Even in the place where they'll feel it in the other church over there. Lord, hallelujah. Let Your Spirit just run amok. Lord, be God. Show Yourself as God. Spread Your weight around, oh Lord. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As You spoke about these ladies, you ladies right here, God, I felt the same thing our brother felt about you, that God brought you here to tell you today that you haven't missed it. I hear God say, you haven't missed it. Your opportunity has not passed. But God has brought you to a place that as you surrender to Him now, God's going to use you in a greater fashion than you've ever even dreamed possible. And that the problems that you're dealing with in everyday life, God's going to give you peace about it and take care of it. You don't have to lose sleep over it. You can lay your head down and know that God's taking care of everything in your behalf. Mm-hmm. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. He wants to fill you with the baptism. He wants to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and power. If you haven't, had that happen, or maybe it's been a long time since you've just released yourself to God, you do it. You do it this week. You just, in the privacy of your own devotions, you just surrender to God and watch God do something great in you. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 You see, my brother, if I'm not excited about Jesus, if I'm not excited about my relationship with God, how could I tell you to be excited? How could I tell you about Jesus when I look like I've been sucking on a lemon and I've just lost my best friend? You see? There's got to be a joy that's unspeakable. There's got to be a blessing. There's got to be a hunger. There's got to be, if someone gave you $1,000, you'd tell everybody, someone gave me, just walked up to me off the street, gave me $1,000. You'd be all excited about that. But you have something greater in you. You have eternity in you that you can share with somebody. Amen. I'm not telling you to be somebody that you're not, because you're uniquely and wonderfully made by God. And who you are and all that you've gone through to make you just the unique you that you are, God's going to use you as you. Don't try to be me. I don't even know how to be me. You just try to be you in all the blessings that God has given you. God will take you places and put you in front of people that I could never minister to, and the glory of God will be revealed to them. Sis, I love your spirit. God loves you, and God has so much more for you. The best is yet to come. I hear the Lord say, save your fork. Because you know how it is, when you go to someone's house and they say, save your fork because dessert's coming. Save your fork, sis, because the best is yet to come in your life. Amen. 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 Blazing the gospel trail. It's not an easy thing to do, but you know what? Men have been doing it for thousands of years. Amen. Stay the course. Stay the course. God's good. God's wonderful. I don't know what God has for all of us, but I do know this. He wants us to share Him to the lost and dying, to the world today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, I know we got a benediction and all that stuff, but I want to do something. We do this in our church, and I want to do it here. I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands up like this, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Lift your hands up, everybody. Heavenly Father, I bring before you this people, your church, your bride. They are beautiful, strong, and full of your glory. They, Lord, set the temperature wherever they go. They bring the words of life to all who would hear. Now use them for your glory. Lord, from the north and the south and the east and the west, send people to them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Let them lay hands on the sick. Let them cast out devils. Let them do the great things you said that we're going to do in your name. Now, Lord, bless them financially, physically, and in all ways. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
I'm done.
Ready. It's our closing benediction.